Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep, where is he? And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, got
you. Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Again, that number, 331-979-1369. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Well, happy Monday, Chicago sports fans. Great day for Chicago sports on Sunday as we see our Bears make a ridiculous come from behind fourth quarter victory over the Detroit Lions. A little bit of luck as the Lions drop a sure thing touchdown in the final seconds of that game. But Mitch Trubisky, 3 fourth quarter touchdowns. The Bulls come back. The Bears come back from down 17. Start their season 1-0. The Cubs, unexpected no hitter from Alec Mills, and a 12-0 victory over the Brewers. And the White Sox sweeping the Detroit Tigers to claim the best record in the entire American League. Now, if that isn't one of the best days in Chicago sports in recent memory, I don't know what is. A lot of Bulls fans I saw yesterday saying, hey, let's make this even more exciting and announce our new head coach. But that was not to be. But still, as a reminder, if you are a Chicago baseball fan, in addition to being a Bulls fan, check out Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears. Check out Locked On Sox with Herb Lawrence and Chris Tannehill. And if you are bearing down just like me, check out Locked On Bears with Lauren Cox. Ahead on today's show, a couple of thoughts about this unexpected Game 7 between the Clippers and the Nuggets that we have on deck Tuesday night, and a first look at the Eastern Conference Finals matchup between two teams that maybe not everybody expected to be here, that being the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Game 1 of that series tips off also on Tuesday. We'll also, at the back end of the show, touch on what else? The latest news around current, but not for long, Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni and what his departure from Houston means for the Bulls, if anything, in their coaching search. Jordan is off today, and then he'll be handling a solo episode tomorrow, and then hopefully he and I will get on the mics together on Wednesday for some great mailbag content. Keep all those texts and voicemails coming. And by the way, as a reminder, if you didn't check our episode from this past Friday, you should. We had a great chat with our pal C. Red Fred of Bulls HQ and ChicagoBullseye.com. The prophet himself stopped by Locked On Bulls. We had a lot of fun talking with Fred. So check that out if you haven't already. Okay. Wow. Didn't think we'd be getting a Game 7, Clippers and Nuggets. I honestly didn't. I thought if one of those Western Conference semifinal series was going to go into the Game 6, Game 7 territory, it would be Rockets-Lakers. But we saw the Rockets crumble and fold after winning Game 1 of that series. They blew opportunities to win Games 2 and 3, which maybe hurt their confidence a little bit. Then they dig themselves too deep of a hole in Game 4. And by Game 5, it seemed like Harden and his crew were just ready to pack up and go home. Which, of course, means what we will get to later with Mike D'Antoni leaving the Houston Rockets. But so, I thought that if the Lakers or Clippers would make quick work of their semis opponent, it would be the Clippers. No offense to Denver. I just thought that, you know, despite the talent of Jokic and Murray, the Clippers were a deeper, better, well-rounded team and certainly better on the defensive end. But the Clippers are now 0-7 in franchise history in games that could potentially send them to the conference finals, a team that has never once in their history been to the conference finals. Meanwhile, the Nuggets are always winning games when they have their backs against the wall. They are now 5-0 in elimination games in these 2020 bubble NBA playoffs. Crazy dichotomy of success and failure there in closeout games. And this is more of the same. We saw the Nuggets build themselves a 3-1 hole in the first round against Utah and fight all the way back in that series. And they appear to be on the brink of doing exactly that against the Clippers, and both in games 5 and 6, doing so by coming from behind, not just in the series, but in the games themselves. Double-digit deficits in both of these games. They were down by 16 at one point in game 5, down by 19 yesterday in game 6, and they just refused to die. In the second half of the past two games, the Nuggets have outscored the Clippers 131-84. 131-84. And look at some of the discrepancies from the Clippers and Nuggets in those second halves of games 5 and 6. 31% from the floor for the Clippers, 61% for Denver. The Clippers 28% from behind the arc and 57% for the Nuggets. And contested field goals, doesn't matter. The Nuggets are still hitting them at 52% in these last two second halves. The Clippers just 26%. I mentioned Jokic and Murray. Murray certainly was struggling at the beginning of this series against the Clippers compared to his just lights out performance against Utah in round one. But man, he and Jokic brought it yesterday afternoon, combining for 65 points. Jokic was making some of his ridiculous, you know, Dirk-esque one-legged step-back shots. Murray, despite getting rolled up on a Paul George play, toughed it out and finished the game. He had 31. And check out this stat. And the two comeback wins in games 5 and 6, Murray and Jokic have combined for almost as many points, 82, as the entire Clippers team, 84. So, looking ahead to tomorrow's do-or-die game 7, I still like the Clippers to pull this out. The Nuggets have been a really fun and exciting and entertaining part of these NBA bubble playoffs. Some of those Murray versus Mitchell games in round one were electric. And credit to the Nuggets and their coach Mike Malone for this never-say-die attitude that they have. But I have to believe that Kawhi and Paul George and everybody on that Clippers team is going to say, you know what, we can't blow this. We're not the Utah Jazz, who nobody expected to do anything. I think most people would have picked the Nuggets to win that series and not need 7 games to do it. The Clippers are too strong, physically and mentally, and led by a guy in Doc Rivers who has been there before. It's going to be tough, but I just don't see the Nuggets getting yet another Herculean combined effort from Jokic and Murray. So I'm going to take the Clippers in game 7, but I don't feel great about it. I know I'm kind of fencing right there, but I will take the Clippers to win game 7 because, I mean, come on, how can I not? I'm still ride or die with my buddy Joakim. Want to see him get that ring. Before we get to Celtics and Heat, I wanted to tell our Locked On Bulls listeners about Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. Or, sorry, honey, the Bulls just blew another fourth quarter lead. I'm just really not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and again, discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Once again, go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. Okay. The Eastern Conference Finals are set. While we are still waiting to see who comes out of the conference semis in Game 7, Clippers Nuggets to face the Lakers. We know who the two teams are in the East. It is Boston and it is Miami. Personally, as a Bulls fan who has hated both of these organizations my entire Bulls fandom life, I was disappointed that these are the teams we got. Obviously, Milwaukee was a huge bubble disappointment, and there are lots of questions swirling about the future of Giannis. People saying, oh my God, he's unfollowing his Bucks teammates on Instagram. What does this mean? And Toronto, credit to them for still making it that far. Game 7 of the conference semis after losing the finals MVP from their championship run last year, Kawhi Leonard. Incredible job by Nick Nurse and the Toronto Raptors. Credit to them for forcing that seventh game. But it's Boston who came out on top in that series, led by the incredible star play of not only Kemba Walker, established all-star veteran in this league, but one who did not have any playoff experience really coming into this this playoff run with his new team, but also Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Man, at 22 years old, Tatum especially is proving that he has what it takes to be big in those big moments in playoff games. Would be an incredible accomplishment for him to take his team to the finals at just 22 years of age. Making big shots, playing that excellent level of defense. What can I say? I think at a certain point last year, we were overhyping Tatum as a collective NBA audience and maybe putting a little bit too much expectation on his shoulders. And he was struggling to start this season. But the way that he was playing, you know, post All-Star break, right leading up to the All-Star break and right before the COVID shutdown, was showing that he is a future MVP candidate, and that future might not be that far away. And he's continued to do so in the playoffs. So Boston is strong. And Boston are led by a young but very competent coach in Brad Stevens, who maybe has more to prove in this series than Eric Spoelstra, who arguably is the best coach in the NBA, out-coached Mike Budenholzer, hands down out-coached Mike Budenholzer in that second round win. And Spo already has two titles to his name. So Stevens coming into this series with more to prove and a tough job trying to figure out how to slow down this star pairing of Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, plus all of those shooters for Miami. Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Goran Dragic can knock him down. And holy crap, does Jay Crowder have confidence shooting that three ball? Maybe a little bit more confidence than he should have, but he has made some big plays in these playoffs. And when he gets hot, watch out. To me, there are a couple things here when I'm looking at who has the edge in this Boston-Miami Conference Finals series. First thing is when we saw these teams play each other in the seeding games in the bubble, Bam Adebayo dominated Boston in the front court. And I mean dominated. Boston did a pretty good job defensively containing Pascal Siakam in the previous series, and mad credit to Daniel Theis, who I just noticed when reading up on this matchup, had behind Rudy Gobert the second best defensive box plus minus. Like, I always knew he was a solid rim protector guy, but wow. That's better than I expected. Can he do, and can his Celtics teammates do, as good of a job containing Bam as they did against Siakam? Because Bam certainly got the better of the Celtics in the one game that we saw between these two teams in the seeding games. Jimmy Butler is another interesting guy to say, okay, well, can you contain Bam? Can you contain Jimmy? And here, to me, is an interesting factor, and it will be a big decision for Celtics coach Brad Stevens. We're hearing that maybe, maybe not for game one, but at some point in this series, the Celtics are going to get Gordon Hayward back from that ankle injury that he suffered in the first game of their playoff run. Does that mean fewer minutes for Marcus Smart? Because Marcus Smart, as Jordan and I were talking about recently, has really brought along his offensive game. Credit to him for, you know, on spot-up three-point shots, shooting at a 40% clip this season. Nobody would have expected that a couple years ago when he was known as just a defensive player. He's brought along his offensive game, but it's still his defense who defines him. And if there's anybody in the Eastern Conference, let alone the league, who can check Jimmy Butler and his isolation offense, it's Marcus Smart. So does Brad Stevens shave off Smart's minutes to get Gordon Hayward back into a rhythm? Because in his own right, This season, Gordon Hayward was averaging 17.5 points per game, shooting nearly a 50-40-90 season. I think he was a couple of three-point percentage points and a couple of free throw percentage points away from a 50-40-90 season. 17.5 points per game, not to mention adding 6 rebounds, 4.5 assists. He is a valuable piece for this Celtics team, but do you risk bringing him back in a conference final series and allowing him to try to knock off some of the rust of missing these past two series at the expense of fewer minutes for Marcus Smart, who you know will be able to check Jimmy Butler better than anybody else on your team? So that is something that I'll be looking for in this series. And then from the Heat's defensive perspective, obviously we know what Jason Tatum could do. We know what Jaylen Brown can do. But to me, Kemba will be the key. Can they slow down Kemba Walker? Because no offense to Goran Dragic or anybody else that the Heat have in their backcourt, and maybe Spo will be forced to put Jimmy on Kemba at certain points and for long stretches, because I don't think that the Heat defensively can contain Kemba Walker unless you're asking Jimmy to do that in addition to giving you 25 or 30 points a night. That's a lot to ask from Jimmy Butler, because to me, that was the thing that allowed Miami to, in addition to, taking advantage of mismatches and Spo out coaching Budenholzer and, of course, Giannis' ankle injury and not playing like the MVP that he is, they didn't have to worry about checking some elite-level point guard who can score and create. Because guess what? Milwaukee, for all the talent on that team, does not have a player that fits that criteria. The Milwaukee Bucks do not have a Kemba Walker. So as excited as we are to watch this young duo of Tatum and Jaylen Brown try to get the Celtics to that next point, because the Celtics have been in the conference finals 3 of the last 4 years, as young as they are. Credit to them for that, but they have not made it all the way to those finals. Is this the year? Can Kemba be that difference maker to put them over the top? It's a close series. I'm certainly expecting this series to go 6 games, if not 7. I'm going to take Boston, and not just because I don't want to see Jimmy win with a different team. I'm not that bitter. I used to love Jimmy, and then I used to hate Jimmy, and now I'm just kind of like, whatever, moving on about Jimmy. I don't care. And I hate the Celtics. I fucking hate the Celtics. I'm a Bulls fan. I've hated the Celtics my whole life. But just looking on paper and looking at the matchups, I think that Boston has a little bit more talent. And I think if Brad Stevens makes the proper moves to take advantage of certain things, like nobody on the Heat being able to check Kemba Walker for 48 minutes, Daniel Theis trying to slow down Bam Adebayo the way that he slowed down Pascal Siakam, I think the Celtics have a slight edge in this series. So I'm going to say Boston or in 6 or maybe 7. And as much as I don't want to see either of these teams in the finals, because I hate both of them, And I think, honestly, at this point, whoever wins the conference finals in the West, assuming it is Clippers and Lakers, either of those teams are going to steamroll whichever team comes out of the East. The finals are, for all intents and purposes, the Western Conference Finals, I think, unless we get something crazy where, like, Denver somehow comes out of the West. I don't think that's happening. But so, I'm just hoping for an entertaining series, a back-and-forth series, and it's a very exciting matchup. There's a lot of cool stuff that we can look for in this Boston-Miami conference final series. So a lot of young star power and a lot of interesting matchups, and two of the best respected coaches in the league going at it right now for a chance to play in the finals. So that game, starting off the NBA action tomorrow, and then game 7, Clippers Nuggets following that in a pretty exciting doubleheader on deck. Before we get to our thoughts on the impending departure of one Mike D'Antoni from the Houston Rockets, wanted to remind our Locked On Bulls audience about our great sponsors in Built Bar. Built Bars are delicious, and the improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. I know that's not a word. I don't care. That's how delicious these flavors are. For those of you out there with nut allergies, don't worry. A lot of their flavors that they offer are nut-free options. 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, which is a new favorite of mine, apple almond crisp. And then, of course, you got some of the classics like salted caramel, double chocolate, mint brownie, and banana bread, another one of my favorites. If you love banana bread, the banana bread Built Bar is outstanding. Every Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate. Built Bars are soft and easy to chew. Legitimately, they just taste like candy bars, but they are healthy. Built Bars are great for the health-conscious person. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Everything that you want and not too much of the stuff that you don't want. They're great for the keto diet. Take, for example, the peanut butter bar. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, just 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and just 5 gram net carbs. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Bulls fans, let's get into the D'Antoni drama. With the Rockets' quick gentleman sweep exit from the second round of the playoffs, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Sunday afternoon that Mike will be informing the Rockets that he will not return. So, he's going to hit the free agent market. This was widely expected, especially if the Rockets fell short of their playoff run, if the whole small ball Daryl Morey experiment fell short, which it did. The fact that D'Antoni was coming into the season as a lame duck coach on the last year of his contract, everybody has been speculating all season long about what would happen at the end of the season for the Rockets. Well, here we are. The Rocket season is over, and D'Antoni is breaking up with them before they can break up with him. That appears to be what's going on here. So, of course, Bulls fans suddenly saying, okay, well, is there something here? The Bulls in the middle of their head coaching search right now with the new VP of basketball ops, Arturis Karnišovas, and his new GM, Mark Eversley. A lot of names being thrown around, interviews with assistant coaches from certain organizations, a couple of candidates with head coaching experience in Kenny Atkinson, most recently of Brooklyn, and Billy Donovan joining that conversation after the Thunder were eliminated from the playoffs, and he and the Thunder agreed to part ways, as it looks likely that the Thunder are heading for a big rebuild themselves, and Donovan is looking for a more win-it-now kind of situation. And that, to me, is exactly where Mike D'Antoni will be as well. A veteran head coach with a lot of winning under his belt, who still hasn't quite reached that mountaintop of the NBA, and would like to find a new opportunity to take a team that's already got a lot of the pieces, if not all the pieces there, and try to get them to championship contention. The two names of teams that we've heard attached to D'Antoni so far, even before this report from Woj on Sunday, he was linked to the Pacers job once the Pacers fired Nate McMillan when the Pacers got bounced from the playoffs. And Woj adding yesterday that the Philadelphia 76ers vacancy could also be a potential match for Mike D'Antoni, who actually has some experience working with Brett Brown, the Sixers coach who was recently fired when the Sixers got bounced from the playoffs. It's so crazy. It's kind of hard to keep all this straight, all of the different vacancies in the NBA right now. But so here we have it. So Brooklyn, they got Steve Nash, the surprise hire. They got their guy. Right now, you got the Sixers, the Pelicans, the Pacers, the Bulls, and now the Houston Rockets. So, where will Mike D'Antoni go? Assuming he does not take a year off and goes straight to a new head coaching chair with a different organization, I'd say the odds of the Bulls hiring Mike D'Antoni are less than 10%. I'm not going to say zero, because you never know, but they just don't seem like a match right now. Especially what I was just talking about with D'Antoni being a veteran, slightly older, win-now coach. The Bulls are not win now. They might be win more than we did last year in the 2021 season, but they're not a win now team. And that's like, it's not like the end of the world. That's just the reality that we're living in. I don't think that Mike D'Antoni is eager to sign up to try and get this Bulls team from a 22 win team to a 32 win team. Doesn't really seem like his jam. The only connection that we have with D'Antoni and the Bulls is 12 years ago when he was a name that was considered, and there certainly seemed to be some interest from the Bulls side to bring in Mike D'Antoni before they ultimately instead hired Vinny Del Negro. And we all know how well that went. Hey, Mike D'Antoni, you might be a little bit bummed out that your team with Harden and Westbrook and Gordon fell short again in the playoffs, but at least you've never been choked out by John Paxson. So, you know, you got that going for you. But I just, you know, that's it. I don't see the timelines matching up with what Mike D'Antoni wants in a coaching job right now and what the Bulls can offer. To me, the more interesting aspect of this Mike D'Antoni news from the Bulls' perspective and the Bulls fans' perspective is now we have another team to compete against in our pool of candidates when a lot of the candidates are overlapping with the vacancies that are out there. Because, you know, Jordan and I have been talking about how enticing is the Bulls' job compared to, say, the Pacers' job or the Sixers' job or the Pelicans' job. And unfortunately, right now, based on the pieces that those three teams have, it's hard to put the Bulls at the top of the list. Other than being a big market team and being the coach who can say, hey, I brought the Bulls back to respectability and relevance and I brought them back to competition, you look at the Pelicans roster, you like that talent more. You look at the Pacers roster, and yeah, maybe the future of Oladipo is a little bit up in the air, but I think you like that talent more. You look at the Sixers talent, and yeah, they got something weird going on. They got to figure out, do they want to keep Embiid and Simmons? Do they want to trade one of them? What do they want to do with that? You still like the talent a little bit more. And now you add in Houston. And let's be clear. The long-term future of the Houston Rockets, totally fucked. Like, they mortgaged everything for this run. You know, trading CP3 away because he and Harden weren't getting along, weren't going to get done together. Reuniting Harden with his old teammate from OKC, Russell Westbrook. Two giant bloated Supermax contracts. Plus, you're getting Eric Gordon big money. And you have sacrificed pretty much all of your future draft capital in all of these trades that you've executed over the last couple of seasons. So, long term, the Rockets are in deep, deep doo-doo. But at least for the next couple of years, you're a playoff team. At least for the next couple of years, you got, assuming you don't tear everything down, an MVP candidate in James Harden. It's not ideal. But a few plays go a different way. The Rockets win a quarter here or there, and maybe you're inheriting a team that should have been in the conference finals. And that's not just me being a Lakers hater. I legitimately thought that the Rockets could win that series. So, yeah, you don't love the Westbrook-Harden pairing. It doesn't seem to be working. Westbrook, and maybe he was just rusty, did not play well coming back from his injury in the bubble. I mean, chucking brick threes, which is something that when he was playing well at the back end of the real regular season, he had cut down on. But he's a player who is past his athletic prime, who his greatest asset was always his athleticism. And he's making $1 quadrillion a year for the next several years. So the Rockets' job isn't perfect for a wannabe head coach, but you still got that talent. So that's why I say to me, from a Bulls fan's perspective, it's not about is Mike D'Antoni to the Bulls a thing that's going to happen or a thing that we could talk about is hypothetically going to happen. No, I'd say those odds are very, very small. To me, it's more about, are the Rockets going to poach a candidate that the Bulls want because that candidate likes the Rockets' job better? And whether you're talking about some of these assistant coaches that we've heard of recently, you know, a guy that AK knows well from his days in Denver, like Wes Unseld Jr. or Dan Craig of Miami, who Jordan and I talked about last week. You know, Ime Udoka from Philly, who's got the Eversley connection. All these quality resume assistant coaches who the Bulls are looking at if they decide to go with a first-time hire. Are the Rockets going to look at some of those coaches? Maybe not, because maybe the Rockets want to go with the proven head coach who has wins and experience in the NBA. A name more like Billy Donovan. So maybe there won't be a whole lot of overlap from who the Bulls are looking at and who the Rockets will look at now that D'Antoni is out the door. But I still expect there to be some overlap. the Bulls are interviewing like a dozen people. There's going to be some overlap. So while the Nets, you know, making their hire and taking Steve Nash certainly surprised a lot of people, surprised me. Steve Nash was not a name that we heard connected to the Bulls. So that didn't dip into the pool of candidates that AK and Eversley are working with. When the Knicks made their hire and picked their guy Tibbs, we all knew that that's not a candidate that the Bulls were looking at. So the offseason weird bubble in season, the hires that have been made so far did not affect the Bulls candidate of coaches, the pool of candidates. Will Mike D'Antoni leaving Houston change that in some way? That's what I will be keeping an eye on, because we haven't heard a lot of names so far in the 24 hours or so since this news that D'Antoni is officially on his way out. But when we start hearing names being attached to the Houston job, will there be overlap in the names we've heard connected to the Bulls, and which names will those be? Because the today marks the day that NBA Delete 8 teams will begin their coronavirus testing to begin their off-season minicamp workouts, and those start a week from today, September 21st. The Bulls still don't have a head coach, but AK told us back when they fired Jim Boylan, those off-season workouts are coming up, but it's not like we feel like we have to have a coach in place by then, and we may not, and that's okay. We know that they kept on, at least for the time being, both Chris Fleming and Roy Rogers, Jim Boylan's lead assistants from the past season. So I don't know if this, D'Antoni leaving Houston lights an additional level of fire under AK and in how hard and diligently he's working to find the answer at head coach. I would guess he's still going to take his time. He has been very methodical with everything he's done so far, and I believe he will continue to be exactly that. So we'll see. Bulls have the closest thing to actual basketball activity since March, just around the corner with these off-season workouts. Will we get news on the next Bulls head coach, or at least a narrowing down of candidates sometime in the next week or two as we're gearing up for these off-season workouts? We'll see. But I don't think that D'Antoni and the Bulls are a match made in heaven. I don't expect them to be considering him seriously for the job. I don't expect him to be seriously considering the Bulls as his next wanted destination. It's more about whether or not the Rockets will poach a candidate that the Bulls have their eyes on. So that's it. That's my thoughts for today. I hope everybody enjoys the Game 7 between Clippers and Nuggets tomorrow night, in addition to Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Celtics and Heat. Jordan has got y'all covered tomorrow, so I'll be back on Wednesday, and hopefully Jordan and I will dive into the latest in our mailbag content then, and also give some of our thoughts on those two games from Tuesday night. Just a reminder, thanks again to our sponsors for today's show, both Built Bar and Roman. And again, a reminder, speaking of that mailbag, 331-979-1369 is the number. Shoot us a text, shoot us a voicemail, anything on your mind about the Bulls, the NBA bubble playoffs, and we will talk to you later in the week. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying, have a great Monday, Bulls fans. We'll talk to you soon.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com